Hello and welcome to another episode of To Be Perfectly Honest. I'm Corey.
I'm Manel.
And this week we're talking about episode 10 of Twin Peaks, The Return. So, Manel, what did you think of this episode this week?
Well, Dougie's Cray and Mr. Evil Coop, he's evil. And Jade gives two rides.
Jade does give two rides. You know, this one was kind of, we didn't see a whole lot of Evil Coop. He was kind of absent from this one. We saw a whole bunch of him in 8. we saw a whole bunch of other shit in 8. And then 9, we kind of had, you know, it almost felt like those were part A, part B.
Yeah.
Part A was the acid trip. Part B was like the reality after that. This one to me is a lot of just kind of picking up the pieces. We have a lot of Dougie story in this one, and we have quite a bit of actual in Twin Peaks stuff. Stuff that had happened earlier that we kind of forgot about, we come back to. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
You know what I want to know more about is, remember the first episode, there was the guy who was the maintenance for that apartment?
Whatever happened to him?
Yeah, and remember he was talking on the phone? Who was he talking on the phone to?
I don't know. Yeah, so speaking of kind of catching up with, you know, things from before, we have quite a few things that we're talking about. What episode was that when we learned about Richard Horn and the drugs? Was that like 5?
Yeah, it was maybe 3 episodes ago.
It seems like it's been forever ago, probably just because of 8, but we finally follow up with this. This is kind of what I've been like, what's going on? We also remember when we had that conversation and I was telling you about the original series and how basically it kind of started at, oh, this horrible murder takes place in this idyllic, you know, little town that nothing ever is wrong. And then you dig further.
I remember this episode now.
Yeah. So remember, we get deeper and deeper and deeper into that. And then you realize, oh no, like everyone has fucking problems. This is what's happening in this one now. We kind of see everybody is pretty fucked up. We saw parts of that before. We saw Becky and her boyfriend basically doing drugs. So we're like, okay, we know this isn't perfect. But then we see kind of what happens when the drugs wear off, you know. So we open up with this one and we have Richard Horn and he's going by Miriam's trailer. Now we can remember her. She was the lady that was laughing in the pie shop basically. And she witnessed the murder, accidental murder, but still murder when, Richard Horn ran over that little kid. Mm-hmm. Now, Richard approaches the trailer and he says, you know, hey Miriam, I'm here. And she goes, stay away from me. I've already called the police. We know she actually hasn't called the police. She wrote a letter, like a stupid bitch.
No, she told him. That's why he was like, oh, you wrote a letter? All right, bitch.
Yeah, don't say that. If you write a letter, don't say.
Don't. How about don't write a letter to the police department?
Also call the police.
Especially if you just are about to tell that to the person who you wrote the letter about.
Yeah, also don't live in a trailer. Might be an issue here if you're worried about it. So we never really got down to the bottom of this.
But wait, her trailer is next to like a full shack. So let's see.
I mean, we really don't know. Yeah, it's in the middle of nowhere. It's not in the trailer park.
Would you say it's in the woods? Does that classify as the woods?
I mean, yeah, but I mean, every property house in Twin Peaks classifies as the woods.
Just not where the woodsmen live. It wasn't in the
woods. Oh, in New Mexico? Yeah, no. I lost my fucking train of thought.
Okay, so you were telling us about
this is what I was gonna say. Miriam, did we ever figure out how she was involved with these drugs and how she knows Richard Thorne? She's just a drug user? Is she dealing? Like,
she's dealing. He was supposed to meet up with her that day.
Okay.
And
did not seem like your typical dealer, but I guess when it's Sparkle. Yeah.
Well, for sure, if it's Sparkle, you know Miriam's
got it.
Miriam.
That.
Miriam.
So she pretty much right off the bat knows that he's this fucking psychopath. Not only has she already seen him run over a little kid in this plow through and not even stop, but she's probably dealt with him before and seen his mannerisms. Pretty much we had talked about this before, you know, who, where does he come from, and maybe possible origins of Richard Horne. Maybe Bob, the demon, you know, having a child, perhaps. He's pretty fucking crazy in this episode.
Do you think that he's like the son of like Ben or Jerry?
No, so Audrey is the daughter of Ben Thorne.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
but didn't you say, you said Ben or Jerry, one of them was like a man whore.
Both of them were, but Ben specifically, he owned a prostitute ring and he fucked Laura Palmer before she died. And he almost fucked his daughter because he didn't know it was his daughter. She got dragged. She went undercover and was like, oh, da, da, da. And then she was like, wait, who is that? The owner? And then she's like, oh, fuck, it's my dad. And then he was like, come on, bitch, I want to fuck you. I like fucking all the new girls. And she's like, don't do it. And then he was like, oh, I got to go. So and they were gross. Like, oh, that's your dad? They're like, we're going to get you hooked on heroin. So they like forcibly inject her with heroin and shit.
Is that when Liam Neeson entered the room?
Yeah.
Typical.
It's actually a guy that looks kind of like him. It's kind of funny. but so we're talking about, you know, maybe there's a little bit of this evil demon that's in Richard. Every single interaction we've seen him in, not good. There's not an ounce of good in him. Unlike other characters we've seen, you know, Becky's boyfriend, we've seen him be nice.
Yeah, but the sparkle guy kind of like freaked him out. The one that threw that nickel or dime up in the air and it flipped around and held in the air.
But he's flipped out every time. Even when he's at a bar having a good time, he's like fucking trying to rape little girls, plowing over little kids when he's driving, fucking murdering fat chicks in trailers. Like,
I mean, to be fair, that kid ran out into the street with his mother.
To be fair, Richard Horne literally bypassed 10 cars in a four-way stop.
I mean,
so we have Richard Horne. He comes across Miriam's trailer. Miriam right away is like, oh no, this is not good. She's like, get out. I've already contacted the police. I've already sent them a letter. Don't do that. Just call the police. Don't send them a letter. So
Richard, he busts out the window and then opens the door.
Breaks in the shitty ass trailer, which is like, there's a window up in the back. You could have probably just crawled in there. Beats the shit out of her. We don't see this on camera, but we hear basically a thud. The trailer shakes. She falls down. We go in later and we zoom in kind of on her bleeding out from her head. So if she's not dead from that, she will be pretty soon, because we see he lights a candle in there and we hear a gas hiss. So he's basically closes the door.
But do you notice how in the scene, like in the reflection? Yeah.
Okay, so we have basically, she's left there to die. She's bleeding out from her head. It looks like quite a bit. She's actually bleeding even more. She's still breathing, but we have that gas on. Even if that place doesn't explode from that window in the back being open, she's still going to get gas inhalation.
I'm guessing it does not explode because there was ventilation. My bet's on
explode, for sure.
Your bet's always on explode.
Just blowing my pants.
Ooh.
On the way out, we have Richard Horne, who does say a couple of things. He calls, we have, him calling Chad. So Chad, if we remember, is the crooked police officer who, works under Sheriff Truman and Hawk. He's the one that was eating all those TV dinners last time.
Hawk. Log lady. Oh, log.
We get some more.
Hawk. Oh, it's my log.
I think you were the log lady.
I'm going to be here for Halloween.
So he basically says, hey, Chad, like, Miriam mailed a letter to the police department. You better grab that shit. And Chad is like, that's asking a lot, man. And Richard's like, oh, you'll fucking get her. I'll hurt you real bad. I'll hurt you real bad. No, I have no doubt this guy's crazy as fuck. But it's still like, interesting. I'm going to guess that Chad's probably doing part of this because he is so involved with this that Richard gets caught. Chad's gonna come down with him. So we see more of this a little bit later.
He's self-destructing. He's run over a child. He's like beaten a woman to death. He's involved in it with a crooked cop that could, you know, right, easily turn him in to cover his own ass. So Richard, so when will you learn?
We come across, we have the Trout trailer park, and we have Carl playing guitar in front of his office, and he's singing
Just remember that Red River Valley.
Yeah, Red River Valley is what it's called. So he is playing guitar, Red River Valley, and man, that guy's face is just so expressive.
Now, did you notice that the cup, I mean, we haven't gotten that far yet, but basically in the trailer next to his, this red coffee cup gets thrown out the window. It's red. And where else have we seen a red coffee cup? The one that...
It was in the police department.
Mm-hmm.
So we hear kind of from the outside of the trailer, Becky and Steven fighting. Now, at first, it almost sounds like he is possessed by the devil and does not...
I mean, this is just, to me, like an average night with your boyfriend.
Yeah.
I mean...
I just don't do drugs.
I mean, my boyfriend said, I should do you like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, you want to treat me better?
Oh, thank you.
Just kidding, Joe. Shout out to Joe.
So... What do you think they are fighting about? From the context of this, we find out later what it is, but what did you think initially?
I was too consumed by the fact that my boyfriend actually told me that I should do you like this. And I totally
freaked out.
Yeah. It caused a little bit of strife.
Oh.
But don't worry, we worked through it. And then I did him like that.
Yeah. Yeah, all we really hear in that conversation is like, don't be concerned about what I do. You just make minimum wage and, this house isn't clean. Now, something that's kind of interesting and parallel with this, and this might be something that you're not familiar with, but essentially the last season of the original Twin Peaks, Becky's mom, Shelley, she had a husband that was a lot like this. Actually, this was probably more of the first season, but... he would come into the shit all the time, and he wasn't even on drugs.
And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. Sorry.
Why did you start singing?
Because that's the song about transition, how things that your parents do, then you become that, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
I can get a little deep. Go ahead. Continue on.
But yeah, essentially, same shit. But she... This was not drug fueled at all. This was just happened all the time. She was basically in an abusive relationship where he was just looking for a maid. Would be like, this is disgusting. Where's my shirt? This is filthy. Clean this. You're not going to go to work like that, you fucking whore. Like that kind of shit. Now it looks like the same thing's repeating itself. So very kind of interesting.
History repeats itself, Corey.
So he's mad about something. And we'll find out a little bit later what that's about.
So then the next scene we have... lady filling out a memorandum.
Mm-hmm. So we have Rodney. So this is one of the Mitchum brothers. So
I thought it was a lady.
It will be here in a second, but this is what's his face. Is, okay. So we are back at Rodney and in his brother's house. And he's kind of filling out paperwork. It looks like they're filling out casino surveillance logs. And we have Candy. Now, Candy is one of their favorite of these pink-dressed girls. And she seems to be always with them.
She's the bottom bitch.
And she is looking to kill this fly. More intently than I've ever seen anyone try to kill a fly. She is walking around in high heels in this getup, which is always kind of funny. But her trying to kill this fly is especially funny. Now, Rodney looks up every once in a while to be like, what the fuck is this bitch doing? But keeps on going down to his work. She makes her way. And then she's right next to him, and this fly lands on him. And he's like, get away from me. And then he goes back to his writing. And then she's like, it's landed on his face. So she picks up the remote, and she wails on his head harder than I've ever seen anyone with a remote. beats the shit out of his head. So immediately she, like, as soon as she does that, she snaps out of this trance that she's been with this fly. Rodney's brother comes out and is like, what the fuck's going on? I'm like, calm down, everything's okay. The guy who got hit, Rodney, is like, I'm fine, calm down, Candy, it's okay. And Candy's like, oh my god. So this is another thing, kind of not really a theme, but something that's definitely going on this episode, is we see, remember that crazy David Lynch overacting style is really prevalent in this one. We saw it kind of last episode.
I thought he acted his ass off in the scene with Tammy.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, it was dramatic. But honestly, I can't say I would be any less dramatic if I was going to jail for the rest of my life.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing is it's like, you know, is this too dramatic or is it almost right on the head? I don't know. I am probably not the right one to judge because I'm probably a little overdramatic myself. But yeah, so essentially all the shit is going on.
So Candy and her sisters, don't they? Well, to me, they're kind of reminiscent of the Fembots. Do you remember the Fembots?
Yeah, totally. They almost seem like they took someone's brain and split it between the three of them. They take all three of them to do these tasks. They're always kind of like out of it. And for they're some reason, robots. They've designated her the hottest one.
Dude. I had a friend who, she got pissed at her husband because he kept like asking for the remote and she found it. And so she threw it at him, but she didn't mean to hit him in the head, but she like almost knocked his ass out.
Dude, I've hit Matt with a remote before, but I'm trying to beat him. But it's never done that. That's intense. So, yeah, basically what we get out of this is that Cindy's a lunatic. That's all I really have in my notes. So the next scene we come across, we have Dougie and Janie E. And Janie has finally brought him to the doctor. Took you long enough.
Isn't this is it Dr. Ben?
Dr. Ben, which I have down here. What the fuck, Dr. Ben? I've never been to a doctor that goes by their first name. Then does that mean it's his last name?
Well, Uncle Ben, I've known for years. Dr. Yeah. Ben.
He's not a I'm doctor. Not. He is also on a lot of stuff. I know him because I'm a super nerd because he's from Star Trek Enterprise as the doctor. So he must play a lot of doctors. Well,
I think, like, Dougie's got a good little body on him for a man of his maturity.
Oh, are you just like Janie? Are you discovering your sexuality in this office?
Oh, yeah. This is where I think Janie remembers what she's got.
Oh, this is definitely, she starts journaling almost. So right off the bat, we have Dr. Ben, who's like, yeah, Dougie, you've lost weight. Everything looks good. You were kind of going downhill and everything is in tip top shape. So definitely we realize that everyone should really realize this is not Dougie, but whatever. Secondly, when he was in the Black Lodge, essentially time stopped because his body, although it has aged, he's still in perfect health, just like he was back in the day. Now we have Janie that finally stops looking so dismissive and just kind of like, ugh, pathetic of her husband.
Yeah, she mentions to the doctor, I mean, how much weight has he lost? I mean,
she literally has to like catch, go, well, oh, let me close my mouth because I'm drooling.
She's totally.
So one thing that's interesting too about the scene in the doctor's office is we do have Janie saying that, you know, he missed Sonny Jim's birthday. And I remembered that, but I kind of like, there's so much other shit going on. I really didn't realize that. Like, he fucking missed his son's birthday. And it was like, eh, whatever. Like, can you imagine that happening in your family?
Well, and the kid didn't ever seem too upset about it either.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, you're kind of crazy. But then we also see that he had a real problem with drinking and gambling. So that's a little bit more on top of this. Last week we discovered he had like a traumatic brain injury from a crash. And every once in a while he got like this.
He's probably drunk driving.
So not only do we have a guy who was in a car accident and... We have a guy that was in a car accident, but now also has a drinking and a gambling problem. So it does make a little bit more sense why people are pretty dismissive of this new Dougie, but not quite. It's still a little fishy to me that people are just writing it off. But all we know is that Janie is turned on, and we'll see more of that a little bit later. So then we are back at Rodney's house, and Candy is still sobbing. Like, traumatically sobbing. Now, this is kind of what I mean by it takes almost one... It's like one person's brain split between these three girls. We always see them making drinks. And it's like, one girl is always in charge of the ice. The other girl is in charge of, like, mixing the drink. And the other one's usually in charge of bringing it to them.
They're robots. They are Fembots.
It's very weird. Basically, we are sitting here and we're seeing Rodney's like fed up, but also like, okay, like, it's not that bad. Like, you literally hit me with a remote. Like, I can't be that upset with you. And he's like, it's okay. The other girl kind of goes to try and console her, and she just pushes her away. And she says, how could you ever love me after what I did? Like, shaking. It's like, lady, you didn't mean to do it. You got obsessed with a fly. Come on.
I mean, mosquitoes get under my skin that badly that I would not fail to... punch
me with a remote?
Yeah.
One thing I will say, what do we know likes flies?
What do we know likes flies?
Yeah.
Frogs?
Yeah. Have we seen a frog yet?
No. Yeah.
Episode 8?
Oh, the frog fly.
Yeah. Well, maybe. Long shot, but just saying. Weird. So then we cut back to Ronnie's point of view, and he's watching TV, and it looks like it's going to be hot, hot. We cut to, basically, he unmutes the TV, and it's, like, super campy, like, oh, and roll the dice on what we're going to go to next, and... they do that, and then we cut to actually the, we cut to the Ike the Spike, kind of murder scene, attempted murder scene. So we had the Mitchell brothers basically going, oh shit, they got Ike the Spike. And Ronnie's like, hey, cancel that, that hit we had on him, save us a lot of money. So obviously Ike the Spike was an enemy of the Mitchell brothers as well. Now, something we'll see here a little bit later on, I'm just going to bring it up now, is Ike the Spike we knew was working with the man in Las Vegas. So we know that Ike the Spike was working with Mr. Todd, and we know that later on we hear Mr. Todd says that he's basically enemies with the Mitchum brothers. So maybe this isn't the first time that they've had a run-in with him. Maybe Ike the Spike was sent to hurt one of them or fuck up their business before.
I like how there's a kid in this television interview who's like, he smells weird.
Did he really say that?
Yeah. I can't remember if it's when Ike attacked, though, or if it's this episode. But there was a kid that's like, he smelled weird. It was this one.
Okay. So we come across the next scene on the news. And so after Ike the Spike is apprehended with the police, we see the kind of the scene of the crime where he tried to kill Dougie. And we have Janie E. and Dougie there during the interview. Janie, there's actually a lady before that, just like, he just moved like a cobra. It was crazy. Janie E. is just saying he basically...
She super hypes her man.
Yeah, oh yeah. But I mean, kind of, that is kind of hot. Like, oh yeah. After being like, I have to drive you to work and literally do everything for you. And... I'll hold your dick while you pee, like, literally everything, and then you can do that. But yeah, essentially, he karate chops Ike the Spike, like we saw. She's saying that, and the entire time, Dougie's, like, trying to grab the police officer's badge on the news, and still no one's like, this is weird. But the Mitchum brothers freeze frame on his face, and they go, that's the guy. That's Mr. Jackpots. And they go, his name really is Mr. Jones. So he's on the radar again. Before, he was just some Joe Blow wannabe guy that they better not come back to the casino ever again. But now, things are a little too close for comfort. And we see that a little bit later here. Okay, so we cut to the next scene, and we have Janie E., and she is at her house. She's wearing red shoes. So we have red shoes again.
Red door, red shoes.
Red lipstick.
Red sheets. I'm just kidding. I don't remember what color these sheets were.
So we have Janie E. has made basically Dougie celebration cake. And he is like so into that cake. Just like he was that pie.
Cake.
So he is super into that chocolate cake. But not she as wants much. Him
into her cake.
Yeah, she's like, you want to get my cake tonight? I know I never let you do that. But
and Dougie must not have remembered what he was missing, because just like Janie, or just like, what's his name?
Fuck. Dougie E?
No. Too just red. Like Jade, Janie E can give some rides her damn self. Oh, so. Yeah. She's about to show Dougie. So, after he finishes that cake, because he is not going anywhere without finishing that cake.
Yeah,
but he makes that cake look damn good. I could use some cake
right now. Yeah, except for it's so sad and empathetic still, because she's like, do you find me attractive, Dougie? And he like turns his head, looks at her, and then like goes right back to the cake. And she's like, oh, yeah, I like it when you ignore me for cake.
Well, it's not like he's had to say anything before. She jumps to her own conclusions.
That's true. But yeah, she's like, what? Yeah. So she's like, oh, yeah. And we cut to, oh, Dougie. Oh, yeah, Dougie. Dougie.
Wow, you have this Dougie script memorized, don't you?
Yeah, it's pretty monotonous.
And meanwhile, Dougie's arms are like just flapping.
Yeah, we cut to Dougie's face, and Dougie is happy.
Dougie hasn't been this happy since he's had since Jade. Coffee. Now,
Sunny Jim wakes up straight out of bed. She's like, Dougie!
Yeah, she was getting it. And Dougie was not too...
Dougie.
Not too unamused. He was loving life.
Red comforter.
Yeah, red blanket on top of them. Lots of red.
And then she says, Dougie, I love you. And he says, love you.
Yeah, that sounds like a...
So... Part of me almost wonders if he knows what he's saying a little bit. So we kind of go across the forest, and then we come across another trailer in the woods here, and it's Jacoby's trailer, and he is in the middle of his podcast, well, video podcast or vlog or whatever it is.
Yeah, I like Dr. Jacoby. He's in the middle of a one-man effort to just shovel the shit all the way out of the world.
Yeah, he's going off how basically, you know, everyone is sheep, and that the government is monsters, and that we grow our wool, and they come across with electric razors, and they shear off our wool. We're naked, screaming little fucks. No wool for us! Freezing and hungry. And we cut in, and we see Nadine. She's watching intently like she always does. We see on the outside her store, she got, Run Silent Run drapes. Now this is kind of a going thing that she was obsessed with, in the original series. So that was kind of a little cool thing, but the curtain or the drapes that are kind of opening and closing, when they open, we see that there's a golden shovel there. So she's definitely a Jacoby supporter.
Anything that you would think about the 112 as the address on that door?
No.
Yeah, me neither. Now, she is drinking a smoothie. Anything to that?
She's been drinking a smoothie every time, I think. So sure, her midnight thing is drinking a smoothie and doing this. Then we cut back to Jacoby going off. He's been going off this entire time. But he says, basically, you know, the government's too busy fucking us at the grocery stores, at the bank, at the gas pump. Too busy feeding our children chemicals coated with sugar. You know, why don't they bite into them themselves? Because they'll die in the streets. They will bloat like a big red balloon. Fucking balloon. So we have our red balloons brought up one more time. And then he says, stop distracting yourselves. Buy yourself a shovel. Shovel yourself out of the shit. Cut back to Nadine, and she goes, he is so beautiful.
Nadine.
So, these are kind of my favorite parts of the show.
Nadine's crazy. I just love seeing her little patch eye face.
Dude, she's awesome. We cut from that. In the morning, we have Janie E. and Dougie, and they're outside. And she, just in case you had any doubts about how good the sex was, she is so in love with him. I love you so much.
Well, if Dougie actually lost weight, do you think his dick got bigger?
Oh, yeah. They say that.
I think this confirms that theory.
That's one thing they don't tell you is your dick. It's hard as fuck in the lodge. So we cut across the forest, but in daylight this time, and we come across Jerry Horn. He still has no signal, and then he's kind of yelling, you can't fool me, I've been here before. So
I love his scenes.
Not sure what is going on here. He seems to be a little bit more in distress. I don't know, was he trying to find a lodge? the Black Lodge or the White Lodge? Was he trying to get out from it and he keeps on kind of looping in a circle? What's going on? Still don't know.
Yeah.
And then we come to the sheriff's station. So we have Chad is out in front making small talk with Lucy.
And we know why Chad's out there. It's because he's trying to intercept the mail for Richard Horn.
Yep. So he's on the lookout and he is probably being a little bit nicer than he usually is because we all know he hates Andy and Lucy. So Lucy is kind of going off with them and he says, it's a beautiful morning. You know, I bet you're the kind of person that wakes up in the morning with Andy and you say, oh, it's a beautiful day. She kind of does some weird thing where she's like, yeah, well, one time we woke up and the clock had stopped and we didn't even know how much time had passed. And because we didn't know how much, and he's like, and the mail's here. So he goes out and he says, I'm going to collect that mail. And she's like, well, why? He's just going to come in. And he's like, yep, because I'm going to save him a trip. I'm going to go out there and do it.
She's perceptive, though. She's ditzy, but she knows something's details. Going on.
Yeah, well, this guy doesn't do shit. Remember, we saw him before, and he wouldn't even, like, he's like, you need the conference room? Why would he be like, oh, I'm going to help the mailman? The mailman even knows something's fucking weird going on. Like, He's like, why the fuck are you looking at that shit? So he looks through, he finds the one for Miriam, and he puts it into his shirt. The mailman chases him kind of a weird look. He's like, yep. Yeah.
And she is not taking any of Chad's shit. She knows he's up to something. She grabs that mail and she's like, I'll be the judge of whatever happened here.
Yeah, on the way out, did you see he like touched like 3 donuts as he grabbed that one?
He's gross. So
gross.
He probably is going to put one on his dick.
He probably like was scratching his ass right before he got that donut.
I don't know why I thought he put it on his dick, but it just sounds like something that he'd do.
Donut dick. So we cut from that.
Speaking of dicks, now we cut to Richard.
So we have Richard here, and he is basically, he gets a text done. From Chad.
Capital done. D-O-N-E, period.
Done.
So do you think it was...
It's Chad. Okay, so we are back at Sylvia's house, and we have Johnny Horn. Now, Johnny, after his accident, is now completely bundled up. He has his hands tied off, a helmet on, and his mouth is wired shut. In front of him, he has this little bear that says, hello, Johnny. How are you today? Goes on and on and on and on. That's not annoying at all. I'm sure I could do that all day long. And then we have someone on the intercom that says, Mrs. Horn, your grandson's on his way. Now, Sylvia kind of freaks out about this, goes up to the front of the house and meets Richard Horn there. Richard's driving his piece of shit multicolored car. And this is when all hell breaks loose. So
Sylvia is who?
Sylvia is Richard Horn's ex, or Richard Horn, Ben Horn's ex-wife.
Okay. So in the she was the one that Twin Peaks, Ben was just cheating on up and down.
Yeah. So in the original Twin Peaks, there was a family of 4. There was Ben, his wife, his daughter Audrey, who was in a coma, and we haven't seen her yet, and then Johnny Horn. Johnny Horn's always been special needs.
Oh, okay.
And why he's important is he, the person who took care of him, Laura Palmer, before she died. So we have Johnny's all tied up. We have Richard Horn coming in the house. He's basically saying that he needs money to get out of town. And she's like, no, I'm not giving you any more money. So this is something that's happened quite a bit, I'm going to guess.
Yeah.
Either with drug use, he's just been pressuring his grandma because he knows
he can get away with it. And he also knows that she's got money in the safe. So he's like, give me that too.
Well, so what happens is he chases her in the house. Johnny basically falls over and she's kind of like, Johnny. And he grabs her neck, says, I'm going to squeeze the shit out of you, bitch. You cocksucking bitch. Then I'm going to cornhole that piece of shit. So he basically says that I'm going to choke you, you bitch.
What's a cornhole?
It means to fuck someone in the ass.
So he's going to fuck who would that be? His uncle? In the ass.
Yeah. So pretty evil. And then he says, now give me some of that fucking money. And then she's like, I have my purse. And she's getting choked. And then he says, not your purse, bitch. I want the combination. So the combination of the safe is 9047. So I don't know if that's important at all. Probably not. Like save every it. Other number. And then she says to Johnny, she kind of crawls over to him and says, we can't make him mad. Richard grabs the purse. He grabs all the money out of the safe. He goes to the table, basically dumps everything out of the purse besides the money that was in there, puts all the cash, the jewelry, he even takes the silverware, and puts it in the fucking purse. And
who's then he gonna, says, who's going to buy silverware?
I mean, it's pure silver, supposedly, so.
So you just melt it down? Melt it
down. I don't know.
Silver.
And then I think he's just like fucking spiteful as shit. And then he says, why do you have to make some things so simple, so fucking difficult? And then says, cunt.
So we kind of have a theme in here of like women getting beat up and choked up.
Yeah, we also, like, this is pretty horrible. I mean, if you can think about your interaction with your grandparents, can you imagine doing this? I mean, it's one thing to, like, steal money from them, but to, like, break in their house, choke them, throw them on the ground. There's a special needs uncle you have. Fucking do this all in front of him. Call her a cunt. Say you're going to fuck your uncle in the ass. That's pretty intense.
What about just one of them? If I did just one, would it be horrible?
No, that's normal.
I'm just kidding. So
she is pretty traumatized. Johnny's already traumatized from his wall.
Johnny has seen in his life.
Exactly.
But you know, I thought Johnny was going to be dead the way he hit that wall.
I had a feeling he wasn't dead, but yeah, I'm surprised he's up and at it.
But at least now we have a history of knowing that Johnny's pretty durable.
Exactly.
What? But did he have the helmet on? I forgot.
I don't think so.
Like, because I'm thinking now in retrospect, like...
He looks like he's playing hockey. Like, he's a hockey player. That's how built he is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, very, very interesting. Now, we do see that there's another smoothie. So, this is, like, what, the third smoothie we've seen in this episode? Yeah,
we've seen some smoothies. So, could that go in hand with the red balloon?
I don't know. We'll see. You know, the one thing he doesn't... take is her pearls.
Clutch my pearls.
Oh my. So then we cut to the next scene and we're back in Las Vegas and we have Mr. Todd's office.
Todd.
Anthony, who is from the insurance office. So this is kind of Dougie's rival in the office. So this is Anthony Sinclair and he's in Mr. Todd's office. And so Mr. Todd calls over Anthony and says, basically, this is what you're going to do. You're going to go. He also talks about the Mitchum brothers being his kind of rivals and enemies. But he says, you're going to go and talk to the Mitchum brothers. You're going to blame all of this insurance deal on Mr. Todd. You're going to blame all this insurance deal on Mr. Jones. So Dougie. And if not, then you're going to have to kill Dougie yourself. Now, remember, this was the man who put out the hit for Ike the Spike to kill Jones. Didn't work. So he has to get rid of him somehow, per Evil Coop. So he's basically delegating this off. And he's going, you know what? Let's just put it on the Mitchum brothers. Two birds, one stone. So we cut back to the scene after that. We have Anthony shows up at the casino. We have the Mitchum brothers with the three girls and Candy. Candy, go and get them. So she goes down to the lobby after being pretty... out of it. She goes down and we see her on camera for about a minute and a half gesturing all of these crazy gestures like she's telling this crazy elaborate story. And then both the brothers are like, what the fuck is she doing? Get her up here or I'm gonna fire her. Rodney says, hey, if we fire her, she has no place to go. So obviously she got issues. Maybe she's the Dougie of the female world.
She is. She's a fembot. She's a robot.
So she comes back up and they ask Anthony, what was she saying? He was like, I don't know. She was just talking. And they ask Candy, what were you saying? Like, it took forever. And she was like, oh, yeah, we're in the version layer. It's going to be hot tomorrow. And we're so lucky to have AC. So... it's so hot tomorrow and we're lucky to have AC is normal. I don't know why you need all those gestures, but we're in the version layer. Now, I'm not quite sure if that has anything to do with weather.
That's a new Apple update.
But it sounds like crazy Black Lodge talk.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of weird. And then basically Anthony goes, hey, just want to let you guys know all of that insurance deal. I would love to give that to you out of the bottom of my heart, but Dougie, he's basically has a vendetta against you. And I'm not sure if you understand, but He hates you. And I'm not sure if you're getting this, but he is your enemy.
I'm not sure if you understand, but I need you to hate Dougie. Yeah. So just listen to me.
Like,
hate
him. So subtle. But these gangsters don't seem to get it. So they go, yeah, okay, well, get him out of here. So they basically, he gets out and they're fucking pissed, as they should be. We cut to the house again. And we have basically the two brothers freaking out. They can barely even keep their drinks down. That's how pissed off the one guy is. Like, literally, you think he's going to puke. That's how mad he is. Now, if we notice in the background, we have the three girls making drinks. This is what's always so weird. It's like each one of them has a task to do in the simple task. Like, a normal person goes and makes a drink. They're going to grab the ice, put it in a glass, pour a drink on top of it, and hand it to the person. But there's one girl that's like in charge of the ice. There's one girl that pours the drink. The other one walks it over. And we see this, and it's kind of weird, you know, ever since you put that stupid idea in my head of different timelines, I keep on noticing weird stuff with time. And now I'm like, God damn it. You know?
Yes.
Get out of my brain.
Yes.
If we notice here, essentially what happens is they're making a drink. We cut to the men freaking out, and we cut back, and it's like the girl's coming with a new bowl of ice. Which makes no sense. So here, I'm going to show you what I'm talking about because it's not synced up.
So yeah, that was super crazy, Corey. Very crazy. No, the ice was like, it's weird.
It was like weird.
But I don't know if we can say for sure that it was meant to be like a clue or if it was just like some continuity.
I'm thinking maybe these girls, there's something going on.
Like, oh, for sure. There's something going on with them because we keep focusing on Dougie, but those are female word for Dougie. I don't know what you'd call it. I was going to say Daenerys, but too much Game of Thrones.
Okay, so then we finish with this weird, crazy room with Rodney and the three girls and his brother.
Sounds like a party.
All we know is they're pissed and Dougie better watch out. We also have kind of some weirdness with the third girl, Candy. I think it's Candy that's bringing the ice. Maybe it's not. But we kind of have like a glitch. And I think we've kind of seen this throughout. These girls are super zoned out. Not like normal ditzy girls. Like there's literally something wrong with them. Like
female Dougies.
I almost wonder if maybe they've been touched by the lodge at all. So maybe we'll figure out a little bit later. So we cut from that scene and we are at a hotel room and it's David Lynch or Gordon.
And they're in room 1123, which probably means nothing. But if it does, I just want to get credit. Probably just got pointed
out, just in case. and Gordon is drawing a weird creature. So there's a hand reached out, and it's like a crocodile with like antler horns and spots. And there's a hand reached out to it. And he goes in and opens the door, and it's Laura Palmer herself from, I think this is from Fire Walk With Me. And kind of fades out. She's really upset. And then it's Albert. Albert kind of looks around like, what are you zoning out about, Gordon? And comes in. And then he lets him know that they have intercepted the text messages from Diane. And that basically she's the one that received the text from Cooper. And this is the conversation is lively at the dinner table. Now, it first pings from Philadelphia, and they make a comment saying that they thought maybe it was one of her boyfriends because she has a lot of them, which I thought was kind of interesting. So I guess Diane's really promiscuous now. Maybe she wasn't before. Maybe that's something to note. But it looks like it was pinged off a tower from New Mexico. Mexico or New Mexico?
I'm going to say it's New Mexico because that's where the other stuff went down.
I want to say it's actually Mexico.
Really? I think it is Mexico.
She then sends the following encrypted message. They have Hastings, and he's going to take them to the site. So she's relaying this information. A, she knows about the site that Hastings was talking about, so she knows more than she was letting on. B, she's responding and kind of playing a double agent. And C, she's lying to them outright to get what she wants. So we know that Diane is definitely, we don't know why she's playing for the other side, but she's also playing for the other side.
Now, do you think that it could be that she's like double twist undercover of like a
no
secret? Okay.
Not here in a second, because these guys completely seem clueless, and I don't know who else she'd be working for if not the FBI. Tammy does come in, though, and she says that basically, you remember the penthouse? So this is where we first came upon, this is like episode one, when we have the guy and the chick who brings in the coffee, and they're looking at the glass cubicle. There is some cameras there, and they're pulling the camera cards and going through the footage. There's like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours. But there's actually a picture of Evil Coop, or it appears to be Evil Coop. His long hair is down. He's in a fancy suit talking with scientists. So to me, I don't know about you, Anel, but this implies to me that perhaps Evil Coop set up this experiment and is funding it.
Yeah, but we saw in previous episodes that regular Coop went through there too.
Yes, but I think this experiment was set up, in fact, to kind of catch that kind of thing. Also, this is another kind of thing that's pointing us towards that Evil Coop is the millionaire. We saw him before in front of like a, you know, a crazy nice house in Mexico. You know, he's funding crazy penthouse fucking experiments. So the more and more we look at it, maybe he is the millionaire himself.
Yep, I agree.
So we cut from that scene, and we're back at the Great Northern, and we have Ben Horn, and he's on the phone with Sylvia, and she's basically explaining what happened. She's saying, he fucking robbed me, and you're going to pay me back. And Ben Horn's not having any of it, which, I mean, you would think he'd be a little sympathetic, but maybe she's been kind of money-grubbing him as well.
Yeah, it sounds like it to me.
But he says, I'm not sending you any more money. And so she says, well, you are, and I'm going to get my lawyer on the phone. And he goes, Beverly, do you want to get dinner? So, I don't know. Maybe Ben is having second thoughts
smooth
about
operator.
Having sex with Beverly.
Beverly's hot. So, if he can get some of that Beverly, he should.
So, the next scene after this is we have the log lady calls Hawk again.
Hawk, oh, my log is telling you a message.
That's really good, actually. So this is what she says. She says,
wait, let me read what she says. Let me do it.
Let me read it regularly first. You can't read my writing, probably. She says, electricity is coming.
Electricity. Okay, go ahead.
Electricity is humming. Your heart, you hear it in the mountains and rivers. You see it dancing away in the sea and stars. And glowing around the moon. But its glow is dying. What will be there in the darkness that remains? And then she says, you can trust the Trumans. They are true. And the ones with them. And the circle is almost complete.
So this to me explains why Hawk has not said shit about all of his findings to anyone else this whole episode. He probably is on to the fact that Chad is a sketchy
mofo.
Yeah, and yeah. He doesn't know if there's anyone else sketchy, so thank you, log lady.
Yeah,
thank you, Hawk.
We're not sure. In previous episodes, we saw Hawk come across what looked like the Black Lodge, if you had watched the original series. It's basically a pool in the middle of the woods of black goop. Now, I'm not sure if that was still active, if he just knew enough to stay away from it because he's Native American and there's these legends that he would know about. Maybe he just knew where this was all along because of this, his ancestral knowledge. But yeah, I think this is actually going to be him kind of trusting them. And as we hear from her too, the circle's almost complete. So the time to act is now. Pretty ominous sounding. My log says that Anel's going to die. The Corey, woodsman in your car auto started it.
My log says you need a haircut.
My log is a gay fuck. Yes. My log says,
hey, bitch, you're basic. I actually can talk, and this bitch is dead.
This bitch won't get, let me get a word in edgewise.
Hawk. What Hawk, the fuck? You
I
need
love
to trust
your
the
earrings. Hawk, I love that turquoise ring. You have to get me in touch with your stylist. This bitch is about to die and I'm inheriting all her money.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
I love that log. Little gay log. I love you. That log. Love you, log. Love you, log time. That was a pun. Log. This is a message from the log. Please.
It have all some pie. Comes. Oh, I missed a part.
Oh my god. I'm not sending you any more money, Sylvia. Grabs hair. Honk. Deputy Chief Cock.
She says, now the circle is almost complete. Watch and listen to the dream of time and space. It all comes, but now flowing like a river, that which is not. Okay.
So what do you think that means, Corey?
So
let's hash this out.
This is odd, but okay, so I'll break it down with what I think so far. So she talks about electricity flowing and energy, and it's dying.
We all know that there's been a major part of this show that has electricity.
Definitely. Now, what she makes it sounds like is the electricity is like the good energy, and when it dies, what's going in its place? And we definitely feel like there's a darkness settling in here. Now, when she says, now the circle is almost complete, watch and listen to the dream of time and space. This just reminds me that the circle is almost complete. So, you know, we had Cooper go into the lodge and evil Cooper came out. And so, to me, the completion of the circle is that either they're going to die or Cooper is going to put evil Cooper back in the lodge. That's the only thing I can think of that would be really a circle. We also saw, you know, the circle of these dates coming. A long time ago when Cooper went in, the Black Lodge is because it was a certain special time of the year, a special time and place when he could enter it. And we know from last episode that that's coming up here really soon. That's on the 1st of October. So I think that's what that's referring to. Now, when she says, flowing like a river that which is and is not. For some reason, what screamed to me on that was non-existence.
Oh, that's a good one.
But I don't.
Well, when I heard time and space, you know, flowing like a river and it is not. Well, I'm just back on that multi-timeline train. I don't know when or what, because it's not as obvious to me as it should be for me to have that viewpoint. But hell, I'm standing on that point.
I mean, hey, in Twin Peaks, never rule anything out.
Right.
And then she says, Laura's the one. So, I mean, we kind of already knew Laura's the one because we saw her as a glowing orb sent down to Earth. So that makes sense.
There are a lot of circles that are, well, I'm speaking like I watched the first episode, but like we were seeing in this episode how, what's the chick whose boyfriend was like yelling at her?
Oh, Becky.
Yeah, and remember I was singing Cats in the Cradle? Yep. How totally. There's those kind of circles that can be drawn with the parents and the younger kids, and we're seeing the next generation of these families and what's come out of the past, birthed into the future, and repeating the past, and that could be a circle.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think, too, maybe part of the circle is maybe Dougie, a.k.a. Cooper, going back to Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's been on the news now how many times? Like, is someone going to recognize him? Maybe go, it's hey, there's weird. Another Cooper here, too. You know, if they're looking for Evil Coop, this guy looks exactly the same. You'd think maybe he's on national news, they would find him, but I guess the FBI isn't what they're used to. They're just using MacBooks.
Yeah, Richard Horn. Those tires that ran that kid over, circles.
awkward. So yeah, and then we close and we have Rebecca Del Rio and she's singing No Stars. Now this song
was written
by David Lynch, yeah.
Yeah, I just saw that. I just read so that.
Pretty cool. This is actually a really good song. I've listened to it a couple times. So yeah, this is another one where, I mean, obviously David Lynch wrote part of it, and I can only guess he had this probably in mind at all, but we also hover on the lyrics of this quite a bit before we go to credits.
You want to sing it to us, Corey?
I'm good. But yeah, you know, she's like, that place where it all began, you know, then says, no stars, no stars, blah, 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 that kind of stuff. Circle. We're talking about circle again. And then like the absence of the light. So I think it's super relevant here.
And her dress was that pattern from
the floor pattern of the lodge. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. I love that dress. So yeah, that's pretty much on this episode. What did you think overall?
Overall, I definitely was shocked at how much violence against women. I mean, I don't put anything past Twin Peaks, but I think it's definitely painting a lot of character reference for Richard Horne, that he is indeed a bigger piece of shit than you even thought from the previous episodes.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I learned a lot about Twin Peaks history, because as you all know, I'm Unsullied. I mean, I have not watched... Sorry, we're
trying to sell you every time.
We're trying to sell you on our Game of Thrones podcast, so I throw in words like that. So another thing that this episode helped to do is give a lot of backstory on characters from the other seasons. And since I still have yet to watch it, I know, don't judge me. I did learn, you know, about Richard Horne and Audrey Horne, and although those dots are still yet to be connected, I learned backstory on quite a few characters. One thing I'd like to see going forward is backstory on the Horne brothers specifically. I know it's been alluded to, but Ben and Jerry sound like some pretty interesting folks, and I'd like to know a little bit more about Corey's... shaking his head now.
We've all about them in the original season. We're not going to hear anything about it.
Corey's shutting me down. He's saying I need to watch the first and second season, which is probably right. But what did you think, Corey?
I thought this one did a real good job of lining things up for this next episode. Next episode, we're going to have the Mitchum brothers confronting Dougie. So we all know that Dougie can't die. But, you know, basically they're going to try and put a hit out on him, or invite him to be killed. We have, you know, we still have this investigation going on into, Dougie. We're going to see if that leads anywhere. We still haven't heard anything about those fingerprints that were ordered last time. We're not sure.
I'll just say this. I'm still not sure where this series is headed, because we have so many different plot points that I don't know which direction to really look. I don't know if this is all gonna come around full circle to the scene in New York, or if it's gonna go to the log lady, or if Dougie Coop is ever gonna be real Dougie, because I don't honestly, I know Dougie Coop better than I know real Dougie, because I mean real Cooper, because
yeah, for sure,
I haven't really got a chance to meet real Cooper, because I'm on the reboot.
I mean, we're getting pretty far in
now. We're halfway through, right?
Yeah.
What episode? There's 18 right episodes, right?
Yeah, so we're more
so
than
we're
half.
A little over halfway through. So we should be starting to tie things in maybe next episode or the episode before. Maybe we've already been tying things in. I mean, David Lynch is master of, you know, kind of these hidden clues that as you get further in, can tie them together into things that you're like, oh fuck, I could have seen this like three episodes ago. So I find that interesting, but still don't know much about the blackface guys. What are they called?
The woodsmen,
like what they're up to. Totally blows my mind every time they have a episode, like episode 3 and episode 8, totally lost. So I'm looking forward to maybe finding the answers to that for sure. But I'm sure, you know, it's David Lynch, so We may not see that until the very last episode. We may see Dougie Coop until the very last episode, but hey, I'm locked and loaded and signed in for this whole wild ride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that, I mean, where we're heading, I can only imagine we're going to end where we kind of began this.
Circle?
In the Black Lodge. and it's going to be a fight between Evil Coop and Cooper. That's just the way it's going to have to be. Now, as far as what happens in the meantime, I don't feel like we're quite ready to have another episode 3 or episode 8. Crazy balls to the wall, crazy craziness. But I do think we are setting up a lot of things to happen in this next one. So we're going to have to figure out what is going on with the Mitchum brothers and Dougie. What's happening with Anthony and Mr. Todd. You know, basically the last episode we saw, Evil Coop was like, Mr. Todd, if you cannot kill him, then I'm going to have to go there and kill you. And remember, he basically told his main bitch on the farm, if they can't do it, then you might have to go and kill them. So we'll have to see about that. This police investigation. Mm-hmm. So the police investigation with Bill Hastings, is he just sitting in prison? Is there anything else that's going to go on with that? We found out that... Diane. We found out that Diane has already responded to what we can only assume to be Cooper about the location, or that, you know, Hastings has been taken into police custody. He's going to let them know about this location. So something's going to be happening with that. And then remember, we have this whole Black Lodge opening in a couple days. So
we still don't know who the hell Harvey is.
Yeah, this is true.
From the first episode.
So yeah, very interesting. We've seen now Laura Palmer popping up more and more and more and more too, which is very interesting. So I'm
what did Log Lady say about her? That she's
Laura Palmer is the one.
Is the one.
And we saw her flash in front of Gordon in the hallway when he opened the door. Yeah, so I think one thing that's come to a head here too is let's just forget how this opened. We had Miriam. Is she dead?
Nope. I'm not. I'm voting no. I saw her breathe.
Yeah, I mean, possibly no, but this is the thing. I mean, there's another death or Miriam's going to come and talk to the police. So this Richard Horn thing is getting crazy. He stole a bunch of money. He's got nothing to lose. He's a drug addict. What's he going to do? We have this whole undercover fucking bullshit with the drug scene there. We have all the stuff going on with Becky's boyfriend and that shit. So is this going to come to a head? I can only assume that in the next couple episodes it has to. And since I don't think this next episode is going to be crazy balls to the wall acid trip, we're probably going to have to resolve a lot of this. So I think it's going to be really interesting. But yeah, I think the trajectory we're headed for is Cooper and Evil Cooper meeting and dueling it out. That's just my opinion, though.
Well, I guess we'll have to tune in next time.
Okay, that's it for this week's episode of Twin Peaks The Return. Check us out next week when we talk about episode 11. Make sure you go to our website at tobeperfectlyhonestpodcast.com. There you can check out our social media websites as well as giving us feedback. Make sure you include your name. That way you can give you a shout out on the show. As always, I'm Corey.
I'm Anel.
And thanks for being perfectly honest.